We're continuing a study in the book of Job. We're still in the 8th chapter. Last time we'd gotten into the 14th verse. We're going to start at that point. This is in the midst of Bildad's speech to Job. And he is implying pretty strongly that Job is having his trouble because he's not genuine. He's really a hypocrite. He's really not a righteous, blameless person. And so he's telling Job how bad it is to be a hypocrite. And he's telling him that there's hope for Job if he'll turn. If he'll do righteousness, there's hope for him. But he's showing how bad it is if he truly is a hypocrite. He says that hypocrites will have a hope that'll perish. Their hopes will perish. He said that in the 13th verse. Then the verses 14 and 15 say, "Whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web. He shall lean upon his house, but it shall not stand. He shall hold it fast, but it shall not endure." So he's showing that the hope of a hypocrite is a product of his own imagination. The hypocrite weaves his hope out of his own thoughts and ideas, just as a spider weaves its web. The hypocrite is very pleased with his self-made hope, just as the spider is of her web. He pleases himself with it. He wraps himself in it, calls it home, leans upon it, holds it fast. In Proverbs 30:28, "The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces." So does the worldling who poses as a Christian, who clings to his outward prosperity as his palace. He fortifies himself in it as his castle and makes use of it as the spider does her web to ensnare those he chooses to make his prey. This type of hope will easily and certainly be swept away as the cobweb with the broom, when God shall come to purge his house. Bildad is showing that the prosperity of worldly people will fail them when they expect to find safety and happiness in it. Jesus said in Luke 13:27, "I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity." Hypocrisy is a house built on the sand. It will fall in the storm when the builder most needs it and is depending on it for safety. When a wicked man dies, whatever hope he has will perish. His web, that refuge of lies, is swept away, and he is crushed in it. Next, Bildad compares the hypocrite to a flourishing and well-rooted tree. Although it is prospering well, it will easily be cut down, and its place will be known no more. He describes this in the next few verses. Verse 16 says, "He is green before the sun, and his branch shooteth forth in his garden." This great green tree keeps its greenness in defiance of the scorching sun. He's protected by his garden with its deep soil and wall. Verse 17 says, "His roots are wrapped about the heap and seeth the place of stones." This tree is fixed with deep roots, interwoven with the stones. It grows in firm ground, not as the rush in the mire and water. In this way, a wicked person, when he prospers in the world, thinks himself secure. His wealth is a high wall. He uses it for protection. Verse 18 says, "If he destroy him from his place, then it shall deny him, saying, I have not seen thee." When this tree is cut down, destroyed from his place, it is so entirely removed from its place that there remains no sign or token of where it grew. The very place shall say, "I have not seen thee." Psalms 37, 35, and 36, "I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree, yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found." So he made a great show and a loud noise for a time, but he's suddenly gone, and neither root nor branch is left of him. In Malachi 4, verse 1, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall not leave them neither root nor branch." Verse 19, Bildad continues, "Behold, this is the joy of his way, and out of the earth shall others grow." This is the joy means that this is the end and conclusion of the wicked man's way. His hope, which he thought would be turned into joy, has come to this. This destruction is the best he will have. This is his joy. Nothing he has will be a pleasing service to God.
No,
out of the earth, not out of his roots, shall others grow. They're not connected with him, but they shall fill up his place and rule over that for which he labored. Others, that is, others of the same frame of mind, also hypocrites, shall grow up in his place and be as secure as he ever was, not warned by his fall. One worldling seems to never learn from another. Verse 20, behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will he help the evildoers. As Bildad finishes his speech, he sums up what he has to say in a few words. Setting before Job life and death, he shows at Job the blessings and the curse, assuring him that he will reap according to the kind of person he was, therefore he was according to the way he now reaps. If he were a perfect and upright man, God would not cast him away. He says, behold, God will not cast away a perfect man. He strongly implies that if Job will become blameless, that he could again laugh and rejoice. Verse 21 says, till he fill thy mouth with laughing and thy lips with rejoicing. But Bildad was unaware of the conversation between God and the devil in the opening chapter of this book, chapters 1, 8, and 2, 3, where God had already declared Job to be blameless twice to heavenly beings. And the writer of the book of Job did the same thing in Job 1:1. So we see that Bildad, like ourselves many times, did not see the whole picture. Consequently, his conclusions about Job were flawed. But it is true that God will not cast away a perfect man. He may be cast down for a time, but he will not be cast away forever. It is true that, if not in this world, yet in another, the mouth of the righteous shall be filled with rejoicing. Though they should go mourning to the grave, that shall not hinder their entrance into the joy of their Lord. It is true also that God will not help evildoers. They remove themselves from God's protection and favor. But it does not follow that Job, in his present distress, is proven to have an ungodly character. Verse 22 says, they that hate thee shall be clothed with shame, and the dwelling place of the wicked shall come to naught. If you prove to be blameless, those that hate and despise you shall be made ashamed. Not only will God not help the evildoer, but his dwelling place shall be erased. It shall come to nothing. God will not fellowship nor have communion with them. He will not help them out of the eternal miseries they plunged into. When they reach out to him for help, it'll be too late. Between the upright and the evildoers, there will be a great gulf fixed. Only those who dwell in God are safe forever. Those who make other things their refuge will be disappointed. Sin brings ruin on persons and families. Yet, for Bildad to argue, which he does in a sly manner, that because Job's family was gone and he himself seemed to be helpless, proves that he was an ungodly, wicked man, was neither true nor kind as long as there appeared to be no other evidence of his wickedness and ungodliness. Bildad's conclusion was based on Job's physical condition and not on his spiritual condition. So let us judge nothing before the time, but wait until the secrets of the heart are made known. Let the providence of God work out the present difficulties so they can be solved to the satisfaction of the judge of all the earth when the great mystery of God shall be finished. And so we bring chapter 8 of Job to a close.